This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Random movie generator. Random movie generator. Random movie generator. Random movie generator.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator Podcast with me, David L, and David
Edwards, here at the absolute ready to serve the great people of the UK and the globe on movie reviews and news.
What a morning we've had with tech issues, David, but we're here now. We're fit as fleas, like you said, ready to talk about cinema and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. And I'm, you know, well aware I'm not always the best person to collaborate with anything that's kind of in this kind of realm of
but
IT.
You're wonderful to collaborate when it comes to movies.
100%. That's what I'm hoping. That's the dream. That's what we're hoping, that I can... I've messed up on the IT front, but I redeem myself cinematically.
Have you had a good movie week? What is a good movie week? What did I mean by that?
Week is when you watch a movie and you wake up the next morning and it's still rattling around in the old mind. It's kissed your frontal lobes or it's bruised them, one or the other.
Well, I watched my first movie for ages, I said to you, Unlikely Pilgrimage.
Oh, really? What was that? Oh, yes, the Jim Broadbent film,
yeah.
Yes.
So I watched my first movie for ages this week, David, and they're good, aren't they, movies?
Oh, God, when they work, they're bloody brilliant.
Yeah, when
they don't,
work,
you can leave a bit cynical.
Yeah.
And it's very much a case of, well, it's like there was a cinema exhibitor that was interviewed recently, came to Cineworld, and he was saying that, you know, if the quality of the films aren't good, people, well, it's pointing out the obvious, they're not great, but he says, if you get like a Bond movie, like the Daniel Craig films, and you give people a great experience, he's using them as an example, where it's not just big special effects, it's also like, it's character-driven and emotionally involving, he does notice people will come back, you know, they won't just visit the cinema once a year, it'll be several months, but if you have a real stinker, a real turkey, you just think, oh, I'll stick with Netflix. I just rewatch Friends when I get home.
If I laid out 100 DVDs on your bed in a line, how many of them would be worth watching, do you think? 100 movies. How many of those? If I randomly picked 100 movies, how many of those would you think you'd want to go and tell your friends about?
If you're lucky, 10%, 10 of them, if you're lucky. And that's me being optimistic, probably more like 7 or 8.
Why are we doing this?
Well, the thing is, with filmmaking, you've got to spin so many plates, haven't you? The central concept's got to be good, but also it's got to be well-paced, well-structured. I mean, you could come up with an absolute winning concept for a film, but it's all in the execution, isn't it? It's like the Truman Show. I mean, that was a great idea for the film. Perhaps it's a bit hackneyed now, but back in the 90s, that was like, who came up with this? But so much of it is how you execute that idea, that concept, you know, how you introduce it, the character, the pacing, do you go over voiceover, flashbacks, all those different elements? You know, is it too complicated the way it's served to the audience? There's just so many things to spin, isn't there? So many plates.
So, did you go and watch the Kathy Bates film last night? You put on Instagram, you chose your movie and you said you were going to watch that one. Which one did you choose in the end?
In the end, that Kathy Bates and it was Maggie Smith movie. Her name is Maggie Smith, isn't it? I haven't butchered that, is that? Right, there we go. Sigh of relief. Tripped at the first hurdle. I question myself now. I'm filled with anxiety that I'm getting these things wrong. But you've got... that was filled up.
Oh, what?
Apparently, I went to the ticket booth, got asked for my Miracle Club ticket, and they said
Your Miracle Club ticket? What's that?
That's the name of the film, Miracle Club.
Oh, I thought it's like an extra ticket you have that you go into some underground club afterwards. And
I like the idea of that.
What would that be like? You watch a movie, then you go into not a sex club, but a...
That would be quite incredible if, like, you were ushered along a hallway and one of the posters turned into a door, and then you went, absolutely, you went down the steps. Well, it'd be basically like that guy who writes Fight Club, Chuck Palahniuk, or what his name is, and it would turn out to be snuff movies or something really dark like that, wouldn't it? Or the original JFK footage, these like really rare kind
of
films.
Why don't we open a post-film club?
In what sense? Kind of like after watching the film
club? You watch your Kathy Bates film, and then like men and women in sort of masks and little get-ups say... Come to our club, and it's in the cinema, but it's downstairs.
It's got like a film themed.
Yeah, and you talk about what you've watched, but you also get a little bit squiffy, and there's a swimming pool.
I don't see why not. I'm sure there must be ones like that in Brighton. There's a swimming pool. Goodness me, cigars, ladies, swimming pool, and movie chat. What more do you need? Perhaps a pizza on a floatable tray. Yeah. While I'm in the swimming pool. That'd be absolutely scrumptious.
Wow, so the film you're going to see, this is a nice twist, the film you're going to see was filled up. So what did you go and see?
In the end, I saw Taylor Swift, the concert film. So that was the movie that I found myself watching.
With Ryan? With Ryan?
No, because Ryan was unable to come last night. He was on late on the old work front. But I still have a commitment to obviously this podcast... to have a review. So,
how rare is that for you to go on your own?
Yeah, I haven't done that for a long time.
That's like me going to football on a Saturday on mine. It's a strange feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a strange one. I've never kind of... when people say they go to the cinema on my own, I never judge them for it. I'm like, yeah, fair enough, that's good. But I always find it a bit kind of like you want to chat to someone about it afterwards. It's I prefer it more of a social activity, really, definitely.
Did it change any kind of habits, like your eating habits, knowing Ryan wasn't there? Or did you eat more, eat less? Did you sit anywhere else? Or?
Well, it has to be said that it was a real culture shock in the sense that I've never gone to see like a music concert in the cinema before.
Oh, is that what it is? Just a straightforward music?
Yes, it's not like a documentary fly on the wall.
Fucking
so
hell, Dave, I can't believe you did this last night. I couldn't do it.
And it was completely heaving with people. And even the
what
front row
sing?
Where I normally sit. She goes through all her albums from the last, I think it's 17 years, like 10 albums worth. So some of her really early country tracks, all the way to more modern tracks that you'd be aware of. But I was hoping for, I knew it wasn't documentary focused, but a bit more behind the scenes vibe. But it is really just the concert. So it was me surrounded by primarily women, kind of in their teens and 20s. And they were up clapping, dancing, singing.
This is like when I went to see Puppetry of the Penis.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I remember I saw Magic Mike, the sequel, the second one, and that was just women and me on my own because I was killing time before I saw a friend.
Right, David, so can you just walk us through it? Just because this is quite an extraordinary experience. Can you walk us through what was it like going to watch Taylor Swift with this new sort of audience who was sat amongst? What did it look like? You walked in the room.
Well, I usually have the front row to myself, but I didn't at all. It was absolutely heaving and packed, but they were quite civilized. It was quite a mixture of ages. There's a lot of teenagers there, but there were people. I was definitely the oldest. Gender-wise, I was out the loop. There were some men there. There were some men. I'd say the oldest was like mid-30s, the absolute oldest. So there were, because she's been around for a while. Do you know what I mean? Because she's in her mid-30s herself. So I think she's 33. So she's been around for quite a while. But primarily, it was teenage girls. And it was absolutely packed, more packed than Barbie and Oppenheimer, it has to be said. And what was a bit of a shock was as soon as the concert started, as in the music, people got up on their tippy toes and they were dancing and clapping around. And I was like, I'm not up for this. So I felt like a bit of a killjoy.
Did you do an audience review afterwards?
Yes, I did. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, that'll be on Instagram and Twitter next.
Yes, quite right.
Okay, how did you feel when they started getting up and dancing and singing?
I was like, am I going to actually stay here for the whole thing?
Can we see what you look like?
Just like that, kind of looking up, side by side, kind of raised eyebrows.
So not annoyed, just I'm in the wrong place.
Oh,
here.
yeah, definitely. I felt like Louis Theroux, you know, entering a gang or subculture or cult, more like. But it was a case of, you know, usually I'm quite snobbish about, like, you know, cinema etiquette, but you've got to respect that I'm entering someone else's turf, in a way.
Can you give me one song that she... I don't know if I know any of her songs.
Cruel Summer.
That don't impress me much.
That's Shania Twain, I think.
Is that the same?
That's Shania Twain. Because Shania Twain's probably in her 40s, 50s now. But she did start off with country music similar to Taylor Swift. I mean, Taylor Swift is massive. She's like...
I can see you, baby, walking towards me, y'all. Is that one?
That might be one. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. Did you just make that up?
You're an anti-hero, baby.
Yes, that's it. That's one, but it doesn't sound like that. But there's some called anti-hero.
Cruel summer, cruel man. Cruel summer, cruel man.
That's a name of one of her songs, but it doesn't sound like that. But that is one of her choruses.
You belong to me.
That might be one of them. I'm trying to think. It's all a blur. I was trying to remember it when I got up this morning, and it's all just a hallucinogenic blur.
Blank space. Blank space.
That's a title, but it doesn't sound like that.
This is a love story, boy.
Yeah, that's one of them. I was waiting for you. That's one of them.
Oh, God, the idea of having to sit in amongst that. Well played.
Oh, yeah, they were up, hip thrusting the whole shebang, just surrounded by all these people kind of gyrating and entering into an orgasm of just hedonism and Taylor Swift fun, basically.
Did you stay for the whole shebang?
Well, I felt I should do for the review, because every now and then they did sit down. They didn't keep up. If they were stood up the whole time and I was just sat there like a grump, I don't think I would have been able to ordeal that. But it was like every now and then they would sit down and then they would get up. I think when it was like well-known classics, oh, we've got to stand up for this one, like Blank Space, as you say, or Cruel Summer and
blank
things like
space.
That. That's it. Blank space, blank, blank. You're just nothing but a blank space. Simple as that. I'm going to tip X out your face. I'm going to recreate blank space.
How long was the movie?
2 hours and three quarters. Three quarters. It was a long one, amigo. It really was the whole shebang. I've had the whole Taylor Swift experience. I've done it. And there was hardly any backstage documentary stuff. Because I'll tell you one thing, I have seen her documentary on Netflix called Miss Americana.
You liked it?
Very much so. You see her in the record studio coming up with, what was Blank Space, I think. That's the one she recorded.
Blank Space. Blank Space.
Get out of my blank space. Haste. In haste, get out of my blank space. you've got that aspect, and she does her own music. Do you know what I mean? She definitely, it was quite incredible seeing this very young girl at that point, probably in her 20s, late 20s, coming up with this hit that I listened to on Heart FM on the way to work. And it's got a hook to it. It goes without saying, do you know what I mean?
At what point in the movie were you most kind of uncomfortable? Not uncomfortable, but you felt trapped. You were a long way from the end, you were a long way from the start. What point in the movie?
When it is literally like a concert.
And how long into the movie was that when you were like, I can't handle much more, but you had to sit through?
Intersperse, I think, like anything with life. It's like,
intersperse me, baby.
Intersperse, it's all about intersperse. Finding that intersperse so I can spend intersperse time with you.
Okay, everybody, so David's going to review Taylor Swift's new movie. Well played to him for bloody going and watching it and sitting through it. So if you'd like to have a guess at how many choc ices out of five David's going to give it, then actually I'll flipping hell, what are you going to give this? I'll have a guess as well. What the hell are you going to give this? What the hell are you going to... I think I know. Well, I don't know, but... Okay, so if you can all have a guess what you think David's going to... Yeah. Okay, David. So, the Taylor Swift, the new movie, Taylor Swift, the concert. How many choc ices out of five are you going to give it?
I would give it 3 out of 5. Yeah, it's not a complete... It's too long. It's way too long. If there weren't people manically dancing around me and it wasn't nearly 3 hours like Schindler's List, it would have been... Yeah, I don't... You know, it's well shot. Man, it's a show. It really is. I mean, the lighting effects and the screen. Every now and then you get a shot over a shoulder from her point of view. And it made me really hungry for a documentary. Because, I mean, she is like the messiah every evening. All these people are turning up, not just for a band, for her. You know what I mean? I think Paul McCartney got that kind of devotion when he was with the Beatles, not on his own. And it is well shot. Sometimes the editing is so quick, though. It's just like, oh, God, 3 hours of that.
Hell, mate. I don't know.
Close-ups. You've got a lot on her backing dancers as well. You see the whole team. It made me very hungry for a behind the scenes.
Well, you got a Blur one coming up, haven't you? You got a Blur behind the scenes documentary.
Oh, when's that coming?
They were filming it when we were at Wembley.
Oh, man, I love all that.
Oh, I think so. I think so, yeah.
I'll be Googling that. I love a behind the scenes. It's like that David Beckham documentary series. I love celeb fluff. Mm. Oh, absolutely love it. Victoria and Beckham at home, him cleaning the kitchen, her calling out in the background, I'm off, babe, I'm off to work.
Yeah. No, where are you going?
I'm off for a facial. You know that, David. Well, tell them what you're doing.
Tell them you're doing that, then.
Oh, amazing. As he's either looking for honey from his bees or he's doing his next Lego project.
Well, David, amazing. So 3 out of 5 for the Taylor Swift movie. What can I say? Thank you for sitting through it and reviewing it.
Not a problem. It's, well, the cinematography is very cinematic.
You liked it. So if you're a Taylor Swift fan...
Oh, God, crack cocaine, amigos.
Absolutely. Crack cocaine. Thank you, David, for this week's new movie review.
Absolutely, not a problem. And also the interesting thing with it is that she's been very crafty in that the studios aren't involved. It's just her and the cinema chain. So she'll get a massive slice of the box office, and it's already made loads of money. And a lot of studios
are involved. I'll finish this section.
Sorry, you are quite right. Literally, I'm a man who'd never leave your house, never ask me around for coffees and donuts.
I can't edit this bugger. Thank you, David.
Right, absolutely. There it is. The door has been closed. Don't keep knocking on the door and talking through the letterbox.
Movie.
So, David, you got any movie news this week?
One bit of interesting movie news is that I was listening and going on movie websites, as you do, and they do lots of things on toy conventions, because toy conventions are an interesting insight into what the new films are going to be. And they give you little spoilers if you look at the new toys appearing for blockbusters. In actual fact, they've got a saying in Hollywood now, which is like, does your script have toy etiquette attached to it? And that means that, yes, and that means could you make toys around that script? If it's such a large budget, can we have other spin-off merchandise? But anyway, my point is, a lot of the toys that came out this year in the toy convention were AI toys. And there's lots of Pokemon toys and Marvel toys whereby kids will be able to have very detailed conversations with the toys. So you're going to have a very detailed conversation with the Hulk or Pikachu. And when you think, it is just basically a verbalized version of ChatGPT. And there was one person that was interviewed that was a Marvel toy. I can't remember which one it was. And they were at the stand and they were having a conversation with Thor or Iron Man. And the woman behind the stand started laughing, saying, we didn't even teach him that. We didn't even know he could talk about that. So it's just like, it literally is like a literal movie, like Meg. The Hulk is just learning all the time. And the end game they want, and that's not a pun intended, but the end game with Marvel is that you'll be able to go and watch the latest Avengers film, but then have a chat with Hulk afterwards about it. What was that bit like? How did you feel when you picked up that Star Cruiser?
Can we do that now, if you're a Hulk?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Hello, Hulk.
Hello, Danny.
What was it like when you were fighting that bad man?
Hulk gets angry. Hulk needs to realise that anger is not always a solution. But Hulk...
Sorry, this is going slightly
no,
Chinese.
No, not at all.
Hulk realises that he had to help his friend. So Hulk bang, Hulk bang. Hulk hurt people, and Hulk goes home annoyed with Hulk.
Big muscles.
I do have big muscles, Danny, and I use them to help America.
Rip shorts.
Yes, purple rip shorts. I would like to wear trousers. It gets cold in the winter, but nothing can fit my pulpitizing nuclear thighs.
Bumhole.
I do have a bumhole, but I am never able to use it as the Hulk, because I'm so angry it gets stuffed inside me. Bruce can defecate, but Hulk can't. I'm too busy and too angry.
Wow, and that could happen in the cinema, are you saying?
When you get home, or perhaps a drive home in the car on the back of the Nissan, the family, and then you could discuss the experience in a more intimate manner with the Hulk.
Would the Hulk just be sat on your dashboard?
Oh, no, it's a toy. So it would be a Hulk plushie, or it would be a Hulk figure that you could discuss.
So it's just
it.
a little Star Wars,
it'd be
side.
Like an action figure. Yeah, yeah, I would say...
If you pull the Hulk out of the glove compartment.
Yeah, absolutely, and you'd have a chat with him about it. I've just seen you in Avengers. So I sound like David Bowie. I've just seen you in Avengers, and be like, did you enjoy it? So I sound like a sort of samurai, but this podcast doesn't promise spot-on impressions. So, you know, you get what you get, you get what you give. And it's very much a case of you can discuss it with him in detail. And after a while, he'll always have an intimate relationship with you. So one day I'll be able to sit down and have a very detailed conversation with Indiana Jones and perhaps work out that we didn't actually get on that well. You know, that'd be a bit of a handful, when you find 007 a bit of a handful. You know, you have a one-to-one chat, you find him quite arrogant.
What part of Indiana Jones do you think you go, once you get to know him?
A bit cynical, a bit like, I don't know, kid, I just turn up and I do it. What are all these questions? You know, perhaps not as like, kind of interactive and not an open book. because a lot of these not anti-heroes, but these like dark brooding heroes, they've got a lot of emotions bubbling in the background. They're more about action than discussing the actual situation. So you probably find yourself in a situation whereby, you know, I don't know, I just do what I do.
Have you ever been to Arundel, Indiana?
Yeah, I went to Arundel once. I was looking for some holy wand stick or whatever. Once again, I didn't get it. Those Nazi guys got there before me, but it's a long story. Life's life, I guess. That's a
no. You're a prat, Indiana.
Oh, man. Well, you may have a point, but look in the mirror. I think there might be a bigger prat in the room with me sucking up the oxygen. It'd be all that, wouldn't it? Be cliche one-liners all the time. Who would you like to have a chat with?
What, a film character?
Yes, Travis Bickle would be a bit one-dimensional. I was going to say Woody Allen, but you can't say that these days. A Woody Allen character would be quite... Lawrence of Arabia would be interesting. That would be an interesting character to chat to. Do you know what? The sort of person I think I probably could sit down and have a chinwag to is probably a Michael Douglas character. Oh, I tell you what, a lot of the Jack Nicholson characters going through an existential crisis would be quite interesting. They would be a compelling chat, type of thing. Al Pacino and Serpico, he might be interesting.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's movie news.
Thank you for listening, sir. Thank you for listening.
David Edwards Movie Review.
So, it's this week's movie review, David. Again, I cannot remember hello, Mandy.
Hello. We've sorted out our honeymoon.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
What's happening now?
Do you not hear us?
No, I didn't know.
Oh, they've sorted out their honeymoon.
So they are now officially married? Is that what you're saying?
No, they've sorted it out. They know where they're going to go after they get married.
And where are they going?
We'll ask her.
Mandy, I just wondered, I'm just fascinated about the honeymoon coming up. Where have you planned to go?
Do you care?
She just said... Do you care?
Well, does he?
I do care. I wouldn't ask if I didn't care. I'd be straight on to my review. I'm a passionate film man who loves to chat films. But I've hit the pause. That's a bad idea. An oven and Ibiza.
How dare you?
You're going to be taken hostage and you'd be used to cook up kebabs. That's a fact.
What are you talking about?
Hostage and they'll use her as a heating implement cook kebabs.
Who?
The people of Ibiza, the party community.
No, it's on the quiet side of the island.
Yes, it's on the quiet side.
Oh, there you go. A bit boring, though, it's got to be said. There's not much to do with your wheels. I've gone on many a ramble with you, and they endlessly squeak. So I hope there's someone that will put oil in their rucksack, which I did for you.
What a toxic relationship you have with that.
Yes.
Sorry.
Jealous man.
I'm filled with venom. And
not at all.
I apologize.
It's him. Jealous man.
What movie are we reviewing this week, David?
It was the Doug Liman... film called American Made, starring the one and only Tom Cruise. I'd love to have a chat with his AI, which I'm hoping is going to be possible in 5 years' time.
American Made, Tom Cruise. When did you watch it?
I saw it on the Saturday. The mission was given to me, like Bond would do.
In the afternoon?
Gives you the mission, you do it. Yes, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So it's a biographical crime thriller that brings together the captivating charisma of Tom Cruise and the intriguing real-life story of Barry Seal. It's based on a true-life story. It definitely sucks you in. This film takes us on a wild ride through the world of drug trafficking. Basically, Tom Cruise, based on a real-life story, Tom Cruise is a pilot and he exports and imports things in his plane from the United States to Colombia. And originally, he's smuggling in cigars. But then he gets sucked into bigger jobs. I mean, the main thing is the CIA asks him if he'll do weapon runs for them between America and the USA and Colombia. But then when he's in Colombia, he starts to make connections with drug dealers, Pablo Escobar, being the main one, and he's got a double life. He's helping the CIA, but then he's also bringing back drugs. So he's doing, he's killing two birds with one stone. And I mean, I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but he's making loads of money. It's almost got a Goodfellas vibe. Yeah, you know, the amount of cash that he's got, they don't even know where to hide it in his home, because he's got kids and a wife. But it's so, I mean, let's give you a general kind of overall element.
Well, before, when you sat down to watch it, what was the difference in the feeling you had between sitting down to watch that and sitting down to watch Pete's Dragon?
It's all, you know, you shouldn't say it, because clearly he's part of one of the biggest cults in the world, and they're quite a deranged outfit at Scientology. But you just can't go wrong with the cruise control. Once I know old Tom's in front of the steering wheel.
So you sat down very comfortable with your little snacky.
I think he's got, I mean, he's done the odd wrong move, like films like The Mummy. I thought, I was quite shocked by the quality of that. But it's never crap with Tom Cruise. It's always, you know, I mean, that's a very, you know, inarticulate description. It's not crap. Imagine that on a poster. It's not crap, Dave Edwards. But it's very much, you know, you're in sensible hands. Also, the other thing I like about this idea is, you know, recently, in some ways, he plays it so carefully with his cinema outings with, like, Ethan Hunt and Maverick. They're almost these, Ethan Hunt being Mission Impossible, they're almost these messiah-like characters. They're these very pure, all good guys. Whereas if you look at his 80s films, like Rain Man, The Firm, he plays more kind of three-dimensional, certainly with Rain Man, anti-hero characters, and you get that more in American Made. It's the last time he played an anti-hero character where there was shades of darkness.
Well, let's have a little listen to a clip from American Made.
You know who I am, Mr. Seal?
No, ma'am.
I'm Dana Sabota, State Attorney General. You got DEA, ATF, FBI, all wanting their pound of flesh.
Yes, ma'am, it's quite a room.
Yeah. Well, you hit the trifecta, didn't you? I mean, guns, drugs, money laundering. And the state of Arkansas is gonna rip the bark right off of you, boy. We are gonna put you in a 4x6 cell for the rest of your life.
Ma'am, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Miss Sabota, I have Governor Clinton on the line. He says it's urgent.
Governor. It's a governor.
Put him through. Clear the room. Take him with you. Yeah. What do you need, Bill?
Did y'all know that caddies have more trunk space than any other car in the world? I'll get each and every one of you a caddy.
Huh? You do that for all of us?
Yes, sir, I would. I'll get all y'all caddies. Have them here this afternoon.
What are you trying to do, Seal? Add another 20 for bribery?
Oh, no. I'm just offering y'all caddies for your troubles.
What troubles, Seal?
Well, bring me down here for one. See, I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to walk out of here. There ain't a damn thing any one of you can do about it.
Do it.
Wait a minute, huh?
No, he's free to go, boys.
What the hell you mean he's free to go?
You want to explain what's going on here?
He's free to go.
Free to go? You boys should have taken the caddies.
I'll be seeing you, Seal.
Ma'am. I tell you, it is good to see you, boys. I ain't gonna lie. Well, I figured you'd have to show up, see? I just know too much. Schaefer sent you, right?
Who the fuck is Schaefer?
What did you eat when you watched it?
I don't think I ate anything, but I had... I think I just had the one cup of tea in you know, simple as that. I was very engaged.
Well, when you're watching a film that you don't like, you're busy making scones and one of the baking scones.
I'm Jamie Oliver mode. Yeah, it's like, you know, an angry, it's like, yeah, definitely Nigella Lawson on cocaine, which apparently she did regularly, didn't she? So she could cook, but also write a cookery books.
You were entertained. You were enjoying it. This was an enjoyable afternoon.
Do I give my review after we've guessed how much it is? Or I know this is me getting slightly. I don't know how much. I'll give a general review. Shall I now, sort of thing?
Yeah. I don't think anyone gives a shit really. Your general review.
General review. Well, I hope they give a little.
No, they give a shit.
No,
but
I'm joking.
You know.
I'm joking. Yeah, that was joking. So I wouldn't go into diva mode there. I think I like to think that people do.
They give a shit, but you know,
this is a central part of their life.
It's a bit of fun.
Absolutely. Just relax, Dave. Just go with it, mate. I would say definitely, based on a real story, is intriguing. Definitely, as I say, you've got like Tom Cruise playing more of an anti-hero, like he did in War of the Worlds. He's still a likable chap, but he's got some faults in his personality, because Maverick and Ethan Hunt, they can be a bit one tone. I think it's the last time he did that. And also, it moves along at a good pace. And he's almost like a bit of a overly enthusiastic clown. He just like embraces any opportunity given to him to embrace the American dream. So it's like, right, you want me to smuggle drugs? Absolutely. You want me to smuggle weapons? Absolutely. But the more he works with different people that don't realize he's working for other people, he finds himself in this prison of lies. It's almost like we watched Talented Mr. Ripley last week. And we reviewed that. Don't get me wrong, they're very different films. But it's once again this character's getting deeper and deeper into trouble.
Sorry. I think I've got some sort of, as soon as I hear something, sometimes I have to. My wife has taught me that.
Let's just go with it.
Deep down. Remember that? He's 17.
Oh, absolutely. I was doing my own version, but then suddenly the E17 influence, deep, deep down. I do remember that black and white wearing their like ski jackets.
You're going deep,
rapping, baby,
deep down.
Deep down. What does your partner say that sometimes you just take a right
turn? Oh, she just has this, like that. I don't know. She'll just, you'll say something and she'll just go, yeah, I don't know what she does with
it. Oh, so it's not you doing it. She'll do it. She'll suddenly go into a different tangent sort of thing.
And she sort of taught me to do that, so apologies.
Oh, not at all. I mean, that's just a show of creative mind.
I'm blaming my wife for catting
him. Absolutely, from polluting yourself with this element. But, I mean, you know, not at all. I think it's almost like every now and then we want some kind of feedback from the YouTube community. How much do you enjoy this unrehearsed a cappella? Does it hook you in? Does it interest you? Because if it does, I'm here to serve the audience.
Yeah.
And I'll do an improvised rap.
Whenever I sort of cut in and do a song, I imagine people like really listening to the review going, oh, for fuck's sake, why have we got stopped for an E17? I can't help it, David. I can't help it.
Absolutely. We are what we are. We are as
you
God
are
has
what you
with
eat.
Us. Quite right. You are what you read. Absolutely. It's a case of, it's very much a character piece. The pace is very quick, very fast. It's by Doug Liman, the guy who did the Bourne film, the first Bourne film, not the others. That was Paul Greengrass. He did Jumper. He did the other Tom Cruise film, where Tom Cruise finds himself in a time loop. And I'm forgetting the name of that. Because No, it's not Looper. That's Ryan Johnson. But it's
Minority Report.
It's not that one, but Minority Report is a good one. Because they actually changed the title from cinema to DVD. So it's like time loop film, Tom Cruise. So he's well known for these very fast moving, Edge of Tomorrow, that's the movie. He also did that with Tom Cruise. So it's got that fast moving pace, but it's definitely about a man who's getting very greedy money wise. He's got so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it because it's all given to him in notes.
It's Tony Way in Edge of Tomorrow.
He is. He isn't.
I had a good chat with him about working with Tom. Should get Tony on the pod.
Wow, what was that like? Yes.
Get him on the pod.
I'd love to have him on the podcast and we'll just talk about Tom memories.
Yeah. Right, let's review American Made. So for all of you out there in YouTube land watching live, please put your guesses into the chat box. How many choc ices out of five do you think David's going to give American Made? That's what it's called, isn't it? American Made?
Absolutely, American Made. He's a made through the insanity and the contradictions of America.
Okay, I am going...
The American dream gone full throttle.
Okay, I'm going to have my guess. Right, everyone's having their little guesses. Interesting what they think. Andy McH is having his little guess. Elisa, Mark Burton, the cardboard giraffe's having a little guess. Would you?
Cardboard giraffe?
would you believe? Okay, David. So, American Made, Tom Cruise's movie American Made. How many choc ices out of five are you going to give it?
Oh,
Andy McH said 3.5. KB said 3.5. Mike Rolls said 3.5. Simon Williams said 3.5. The cardboard giraffe said 3. Mark Burton said 3.5. John Salmon said 3.5. Zoe F said 3.5. Okay, so you weren't blown away by it?
No. I thought it was good. And it was very, very much near a four. I would say because it moves along so quickly, it almost at times goes for dark humour and comedy. And because of that, there's a lack of depth for the supporting characters. I think it would have added a bit more to it if he'd spent a bit more time at home with his family and his wife, who appear briefly. But I think more time with them would have helped.
Why certainly. Have I never heard of this film, David?
Because, yeah, it didn't set the world on fire. And I think it's probably the last time he's done one of these kind of very character-focused films. Because everything he's done since is very spectacle-orientated. And he's right to do that because people, I think, made America Made is now more of a Netflix experience. It's, you know, to go to the cinema now, it's got to be experiential, as they say. And it's got to be him doing a stunt. You know, like leaping off the side of a cliff on a bike, or, you know, real life aviator cinematography with Maverick. You know, it's got to be these very spectacle driven movies.
So you recommend it though? So it's an enjoyable movie.
Absolutely. I definitely recommend it. But I just say, lack of depth for the supporting characters. I mean, like the CIA agent that appears every now and then, played by Donald Gleason, you know, he's interesting, but it'd been interesting to have a bit more depth within him and certainly more focus on the family life because there'd have been more at stake, I think. I enjoyed the fast-moving pace of it, but I think sometimes it just needed to stop, breathe, and let the characters develop a bit more.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's random movie review.
Thank you for your eardrum time. Thank you for listening to me, people.
David Edwards Movie Tips.
So, David, you got any movie tips this week? And just to let you know, DDDPPP says in the chat, are either of you aware that the 2023 World Confectionery Conference was last week?
World Confectionery Conference? Wowzers! What new things will people plug in there?
Well, confectionery. Imagine walking around that, David.
Oh, absolutely. Like a Homer Simpson dream. Just putting your hand in things and just grabbing little treats.
The World Confectionery Conference. Chocolate, sweets, snacks and bakery.
Oh, my goodness.
In Harrogate.
Let's have a look at that. So what is it
last
called?
Last year it was in Brussels. This year it was in Harrogate.
The World Confectionery Conference.
Nestle, Ferrero, York Cocoa House.
Oh my God, I probably would have gone to that. Who are the speakers?
Farm Force, Luca Chocolate, Sweet Dreams Confectionery, James Jeffrey from Sweet Dreams Confectionery. Get him on the Sweeties Pod.
Absolutely. And also awards. Who won the awards? So enter now for free. But does it say who won the awards? You know,
can you imagine
up with the crunchiest chocolate bar?
Yeah, can you imagine like the best new chocolate bar?
Oh my god.
Wow.
There's a magazine. You can get a World Confectionery magazine. Darien Awards 2022. Oh my goodness. Once again, there is just no consistency of our podcast chat. Yeah, God, that looks amazing. Annoyingly, it's not immediately giving me close-ups on cookies and bowls of M&M. Winner is someone called Kerry. You might have to give me more than that. Who does Kerry work for? Ingredients Innovation is Kerry. Who's that?
Okay.
It's a poorly constructed website. Sorry, it's not for me.
All right, have a go.
Yeah, that is a bit off of me, isn't it?
Okay, David, so you got any movie tips this week?
Definitely. I would definitely say on Netflix, this is a movie that I really, it's not a perfect film. I thought maybe the ending wasn't great, but it's definitely one to check out. I think you would like
it,
Captain.
Hearing that, it immediately makes me go, I'm not going to watch it then.
Oh, no, I know.
I know.
I'm being too negative there, too negative. It's called Fair Play. It stars the guy who played Han Solo in the Young Solo films, and that really affected his career in a bad, bad way.
Why? What happened?
Well, it was a massive flop. It didn't do well at all, did it?
Well, that affected his career.
Oh, massively, because he was supposed to be like the big... he was put on the platform. It was his big break, and it got very poor reviews. Alden Henrich, Ehrenreich, and it's directed and written by Chloe Dormont. Phoebe Dynevor is the actress, and basically,
Phoebe Dynevor.
It's very good. It's very much a character drama. It has elements of an erotic thriller attached to it. So it's slightly in keeping with the tone of like Attraction. Not exactly like that, but it has that vibe. It's got a feel that this would have been a big film in the cinema in the 80s and 90s, but now it goes straight to Netflix, which in a way is a shame because I would have enjoyed watching it in the cinema. It basically, they work for a stockbroker company. And so it's a very shark-infested, intense, hyper-competitive setting. And two workers there have an affair. Well, it's not an affair, they're not married, but they're having a relationship, and they don't want anyone in the office to know about it because it'll be used against them because it's that competitive. And she overhears the boss, who's played by Eddie Marson, who does a great role, great job of it, saying she overhears half a conversation that someone's going to be promoted, and she thinks it's her secret boyfriend who works in the office, and she tells him in the bar later on that it's based in New York. She goes, babe, you're going to make it, you're going to go up the ladder finally, and he's like, fantastic. The next day they go in, and Eddie Marson's character reveals he's got the big promotion. It's not him, it's her. And then it's how a sense of toxicity appears within the relationship, because he's jealous and he feels as though his masculinity is being robbed by him, that his female partner, who he's now engaged with, but no one knows that in the office, is now getting a big promotion. So first of all, he feels it's the promotion he should have, and secondly, now his fiance is in charge of him. And it's how he basically tries to navigate these kind of, and her as well, these feelings of that it's ruined the relationship purely because she's got a promotion that he hasn't. And it's a very interesting character study.
This is new. This is on Netflix.
It certainly is. And it's, it's just a very interesting modern day psychological putting two personalities under the microscope.
Will it thrill me, David? Will I feel thrilled?
Yes, I think it will do, definitely, because you never quite know to what extent certainly the male fiance is trying to sabotage her, or is filled with anxiety and is trying to help her but battling his inner demons, or he's just out and out trying to mess things up for her. You never quite know, but it's definitely worth watching on Netflix 100%.
How many choc ices from you there?
I would give it a 4 out of 5.
Ooh, that's...
Yeah, definitely.
That's good.
Definitely
that's good from
there's
you.
There's definitely some good moments. It would keep you engaged, certainly. Like a proper adult character drama, you know, looking at, power dynamics within relationships, how we've come a lot further with equal rights, but you've still got that patriarchy ideology in the background dominating people's thinking. And yes, it was an interesting one, certainly.
Thank you so much, David, for this week's movie tip.
Not a problem.
David, would you... Go on.
Sorry, there's nothing more annoying than the only point I was going to make about it. It did very well at the Sundance Film Festival, and it's a bit depressing how it's just gone straight onto Netflix. It was a big Sundance movie, and that would have been like a new Tarantino career or a new Ryan Johnson career, but now it's like slap bang Netflix. It would have been, you know, your local Duke of York cinema. But there's nothing worse than being interrupted, Captain. I do apologise. You're going on to a new chapter, and I've dragged you back.
Are we ready?
Apologies. I apologise. I know that it's very annoying though when someone does that. And I...
No, it's not.
Well, you've got strong shoulders because I'd have chucked a mouse pad across the lounge by now. You're a bigger man than me.
Thank you, David.
Bigger man than me.
You're doing it again.
Sorry. God, it's annoying, isn't that? Sorry. Oh, let's just fight through the anger and the irritation and resentment towards Edwards. It's just...
go. Thank you so much for this week's movie tip.
Thank you. Just leave it there. Close the door.
Thank you.
Just leave it there. End off.
David Edwards Random Generator.
Okay, so it's my favourite time of the week. It's the random movie generator where Mandy generates a movie, three movies for you to review next week, and it's up to you. You choose which one you are going to review, blindfolded.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the first movie, David, you got a good one, pretty good one last week.
Oh yeah, I did. I enjoyed it.
Let's see if we can get you another good one. It's over to you. Please choose the genre of the first movie you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Adventure.
Wonderful.
And now we'll choose the decade.
Stop.
2010s.
That's got potential.
Please generate four movies, adventure movies, from the 2010s, please. Thank you. Okay, Mandy has generated four movies, adventure movies, from the 2010s. She's got them in her belly. She's spinning them around, and now it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning. Tinkerbell, The Legend of Neverbeast.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Unbelievable. And what are the other three?
Rurouni Kenshin Part 1 Origins. Got good reviews. Trolls, Tinkerbell and Paddington.
God, how annoying. Paddington would have been good and Trolls would have been good.
So it's Legend of the Neverbeast. Legend.
Tinkerbell, The Legend of the Neverbeast.
Okay.
Oh, Oh, that sounds pretty horrific.
Stinkbit says you're livid.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get my head around it.
Okay, let's choose the genre of the second movie you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Science fiction.
Ooh, okay, that sounds good.
Now let's choose the decade.
Stop.
2000s.
Okay, now that could be good.
Mandy, could you please generate 4 science fiction movies from the 2000s, please? She has done. They're spinning around in her belly, and now it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning.
Stop.
CJ7.
They've been out. What are these films? What were the other 3?
Futurama. Deja Vu.
I'd love to watch Deja Vu. I've always wanted to see that.
And Jason Statham's The One.
Man, and instead, once again, what on earth? What's the
CJ7.
What is that about?
Fucking hell, it's a family drama. Oh my God. I'm not going to say anything about it, though.
Let's just see if this next one will save me. This is like Wimbledon, isn't it?
Can you imagine if you get an absolute gem now, and then you've got a...
It'll just be like flippity skip.
Okay, so take your time. This is a big one. This is a big choice. Okay, let's choose the genre of the movie, the third movie that you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Fantasy.
Okay.
And now the decade, please.
Stop.
1970s.
Okay.
Please generate 3 fantasy movies. 4 fantasy movies from the 1970s. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay, Mandy has generated 4 fantasy movies from the 1970s. She's spinning them around in her belly. It's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Eraserhead.
Oh my God, what, the David Lynch film? Well, that would be interesting, certainly.
So, this is what we've got, David.
Woo!
We have got Tinkerbell, Legend of the Netherbeast, CJ7, or Eraserhead.
Well, you can get more of a different bag than that.
Here we go. I've given each movie an A, a B, and a C. I've jumbled them up, or have I? And it's now down to you to tell me which movie you will be reviewing next week. Is it going to be A, B, or C?
A.
CJ7.
Oh, CJ7. I have to write that down because I've never heard of it, and I'll forget about it when I So it's literally, I've never heard of it in my life, people of Britain.
CJ7.
So it's just literally.
Do you want to know a little bit? I won't give you any reviews.
CJ7. So it's just C, a J, and a 7.
Yeah. Directed by Stephen Chow. Stephen Chow was involved in Shaolin Soccer.
I'm aware of Shaolin Soccer. I'm aware of him. That's like a comedy football.
Kung Fu Hustle.
Yes.
CJ7.
Okay, well, there you go, sir. CJ7 it is. The generator has
spoken.
You're
gutted, aren't you? You're gutted.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm aware of the director, so there might be something there.
Dr. Greggle says Stephen Chow is great.
yes, he is good. I mean, I'm more than happy to I'm more than happy to go with that. I mean, there is definitely that element that you know, he's good at what he does.
So Mike Rowell says Shaolin Soccer is great. Okay, yeah, okay, we'll leave it at that. There might be something in this movie,
there
CJ7.
Might be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good, do you know what I mean? And the soccer one isn't Shanghai Soccer. It's not Shanghai Soccer, it's Shanghai Soccer or whatever. Shaolin Soccer. I did watch that a long, long time ago because I remember Joe Cornish really promoting it. So you never know, there might be something
I
there.
I think you're going to come in next week and go, do you know what? I like CJ7.
Who knows? You absolutely never know. Sometimes when you go with high expectations, they're always very much lowered. Like Taylor Swift last night. You know, I had nothing against her, but I was very much on the fence. But there were moments, it was too long. She outstayed her welcome. But there were moments of, I can see why people are tapping their toes.
Thank you so much, David, for this week's Random Movie Generator. Are you up for answering some Patreon questions?
100%. Always up for that.
Lovely.
100%.
Thank you, David. It's been wonderful, as ever. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please, if you like the podcast, tell your friends. Tell everyone about it. Retweet it on Twitter or Instatok. And tell everyone and subscribe and like and leave a comment. Anything else, David?
That's all of that. Please subscribe. I am literally on my knees right now, like a saint, knee with my hands together, like I'm praying, like I'm clamped and frozen. That's what it looks like when you're praying, doesn't it?